So with this weekend kind of being a little crazy because of Christmas, but I was just thinking about it before we started, before starting Mass, was that this is Mass number 4 for me. No, 5. Mass number 5 for me. And I say that not because I want you to all go, "Oh, Father." No, I say that because as much as I enjoy Advent, and as much as I enjoy the earlier masses of Christmas, this is going to sound strange, but I mean, all of the Christmas masses are Christmas Mass. But for me, it's you really can't have Mass before midnight Mass. You know, it's kind of the Mass of Masses. Now, that's my own thing, and so, and I kind of think, we started the 4 o'clock to make life easier, but there was only midnight Mass and Christmas. I exaggerate, but it's because it's my favorite Mass of the year, along with Easter. Today, as we were listening to these readings and as we heard this first reading from the prophet Isaiah, we hear again Isaiah in his first part as he is writing the book. Isaiah can be broken up into two parts. Part one is really announcing the situation of the people and God's judgment on them. And part two of Isaiah is giving them hope. But this part one, before it gets really into God calling the people back from their ways, it starts with this prophecy, which I hope that we listen to, because it's a reading that we have heard many times, but I hope that it doesn't lose its newness. It said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who dwelt in the land of gloom, a light has shone." And it describes what this light is. It says, "You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing." And why have they been brought abundant joy and great rejoicing? "For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, and the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed." Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, it has to do a lot with us, because we are much like the people of Israel, in which we carry around this yoke. But what does the Bible mean by a yoke? It means a yoke as in the sense of a tool that was for farming, but it also is another way of speaking about a world view. And so what this is saying to the people of Israel is, you carry around a world view which has been a burden to you because you have abandoned God, because you have tried to figure out life yourself, because you have tried to live your life without me. You carry this worldview which is wrong. And that what this Savior, what God wants to do is smash this yoke, is break this rod which is oppressing us, which is oppressing Israel. But also, my dear brothers and sisters, this is a good reminder for us, because it's a reminder that we can be burdened with so many yokes. That is, with so many world views that pull us away from God, that pull us away from the truth that pull us away from the source of happiness, which is God. And that's why tonight, that's why this Midnight Mass is such a beautiful Mass and such a beautiful moment, because it is in the middle of this darkness, it is in the middle of the yokes that we carry, the burdens that we carry, our sins, the burdens of our of constantly trying to do things our way, of constantly trying to bend everybody to our will. And I don't know about you, but I see it in my own life. It's exhausting trying to force our will on everybody. Don't you sometimes get exhausted? You want to know why? Because it's exhausting, darn it. It's tiring. And as much as we think as forcing our will on everybody else and forcing our will on God is the answer, the more that we try to force, the more unhappiness and misery that we taste. But that's because, my dear brothers and sisters, life is not in looking with things with our worldview. We have a distorted worldview. Is that because we're evil? No, that is because we are ruled by our sins. We are ruled by our passions. And so we don't see things clearly. And that is the hope of tonight, is that Christ is born to break that yoke. Christ is born so that that sin no longer dominates us. And this is why in the letter to Titus, it was so beautiful, because it explains it. So it takes what is general, what seems kind of theoretical, and makes it practical. Because Titus says, Beloved, the grace of God has appeared, saving all, to do what? And training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires. In other words, training us to leave behind our worldview, to leave behind our way of doing things, and rather to put on a new worldview, to look at the world as God sees the world. Are we willing? Have we exhausted ourselves enough to leave behind our world view? That is really the question. That is really the question, is have we hit our head enough times against the wall to figure out that it hurts? My dear brothers and sisters, this is a daily thing. This is not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing that we have to hit our head against the wall and walk away with a bruise to actually realize that we are doing more damage to ourselves than we are doing good. But that is the hope of tonight. You know, I was saying at the Mass of 4 o'clock, one of the dangers is that we enter this church as if it was a Christmas obligation, but we leave this church checking off and saying, okay, I did the Midnight Mass, and now I go back to life. And nothing changes. My dear brothers and sisters, as we go out of these doors, Christ, God invites us to not leave the same way we came in, that we may have a true desire to leave behind the things of the world, that we may have a true desire to reject ways that don't bring us life, that we may ask the, and what do I mean by that practically? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm sure that we all have that thing, maybe that we keep going to confession for, that sin, that we kind of keep saying, I don't like it, but I don't hate it. But I don't want it, but I kind of do. I'm kind of comfortable with it. And you know why we have this constant, where it's like a constant interior battle? And that's because we really don't want, we really don't like our sins. And I've said this before, but it's true. Our sins are very much, in a lot of ways, a security blanket to us. We're comfortable with them. We justify them. We're good with it. And you say, oh no, Father, I don't like my sins, but we keep confessing the same sins. And that's not just because of human nature. It's because there are sins that we really not, we're not so sure, we're not so convinced that we want to give it up. Because maybe if I give that sin up, maybe I will have to do what God wants me, which is to be different. And Lord knows we wouldn't want that. And so we keep our sin and we keep confessing it, but we keep struggling with it. I don't, maybe it's just me. Maybe that's just me. But I think I have a funny feeling that everyone that's sitting in these pews has that one sin. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, tonight the Lord comes to break that sin, to free us of that taskmaster, which has done nothing but brought us to misery. Because we hate it when we fall into that sin. Yes, we're almost comfortable with it, but we hate it. We hate ourselves. And today the Lord says, I come to free you of that sin so that you can live as men, as free men and women, so that you can experience the true, what is the true fruit of Christmas? Joy. But how can we be joyful if we're still slaves? How can we be joyful if we still live as we're slaves? So my prayer for both myself and for you, my dear brothers and sisters, is as we celebrate this night, as we celebrate this light which enters our darkness, that we may have the courage, that we may have the willingness, the desire to leave behind our godless ways and to follow the way of God. And as we come to this Eucharist, the Lord gives us with the strength, the grace that we need. Don't worry, I know all of us are hesitant because right now we're all kind of going through that interior battle which says, I don't really, but it's hard. It's hard because those sins have us held captive. But today there is hope. Today there is the possibility to leave that sin behind and to experience and taste eternal life.